This conference will now be recorded.
All right, so this is what we call draft or training, but this is for you coordinators that are in the department. You know, terminology wise, if you were to call up somebody at Granicus or talk to somebody at Granicus, the steps that we're about to go through, we refer to that as what a drafter would do. So if you hear the term drafter, you know, it's pretty much what you as coordinators in a department would do. You know, at the end of the day, it's just creating an agenda item. And agenda items in the system we call files. So again, if you talk to anybody at Granicus, you know, you can say agenda item, but they'll know you're talking about at least what Legistar calls files. Okay, a little bit about what to expect, and then we'll jump right in. First, we're actually going to talk a little bit about Insight. So Insight is your public facing web page that comes with the Legistar solution. We're going to spend a little bit of time just talking about some highlights of that Insight page. And then what we're going to do is I'm just going to have you guys watch the screen, and I'm going to quickly take you through the process of creating an agenda item. All I want you to do is just watch, and you'll see, you know, relatively how easy it is, you know, how quickly you can actually create an agenda item. And as I do that, you guys can take a look at, if you want, kind of go back and forth. There's a kind of a drafter guide that has been provided to you. Let me pull it up here. It's a guide that I create to kind of help us through the initial training process. There are steps. We're going to go through the steps. And what I've tried to do is just highlight in red the things that are important. So as you go through the process of creating an agenda item, your agenda report, really all you need to do is just kind of look at the red boxes, and that'll really be a guide for you as far as, you know, what we're going to pay attention to on any given screen or tab. You know, you'll see some lines. If you see a line like this one here, you just disregard everything but the squares or the rectangles, and a couple situations where you'll see some arrows. So as I go through that quick demo or review of creating an agenda item, you can watch the screen, and you, if you want, you can follow along with the drafting guide here. Then after that, what we'll do is we'll have you actually go to your Legistar homepage, which I think most of you are already at, and then I'll walk you through some local settings. I'll talk about what local settings are. We're going to only go through very specific ones, ones that apply to what you're doing in the system. So we'll do that, and then after that, we'll actually go through the process of creating an agenda item from start to finish. And as we do that, we're going to use this guide as we go through the process, and that'll be our opportunity. I'll talk more in detail about the different screens and things like that. That'll be your opportunity to ask questions. And that'll pretty much probably be the end of the training session. So that's what to expect. So let's go ahead and jump into our public facing, kind of what Granicus calls Insight page. So if you have pen and paper, which I hope most of you do, what I'm gonna do is give you two URLs. And eventually, when you go live, the one down here that does not have the dash training in it, you guys will wind up integrating that into your Clark County site, and that's, you know, that's where the public will go to access these published agendas and minutes, etc. But until you go live, you can use the direct URL to get to these. And for training, you know, we're going to focus on your training database, which everybody's logged into, and that training database has its own Insight page. So we can do all kinds of publishing and do things out there, and it's not going to have any impact on the public-facing Insight page that you'll use when you go live. All right, no need to pull this up unless you want to, but let's start with just kind of a quick review of what this Insight page is. So we have, you know, hundreds of customers that use our Legistar solution, and you know, each one of them, their Insight page looks a little bit different. So it can be customized, there can be more tabs up here, there can be less, etc. But the basic takeaway is when a meeting is scheduled in Legistar, and when an agenda is published, when your final action is published, when your minutes are published, The video recordings or the audio recordings of your meetings, all of that information is eventually going to make its way out here so the public can access it. Something to keep in mind about this public facing insight page is depending on what browser they're using, some of the areas that they go to and some of the drop downs when they select things, the browser will cache it, it will remember it. So when they first arrive, they'll be on the calendar tab and they'll see some upcoming meetings. So these are meetings, of course, that haven't happened yet. They're scheduled to happen. And then down below, we get all meetings. And down here is really where the searching and the filtering is going to be done. Here in the search box, they can type in, keywords, terms, whatever it may be. And then here, this drop down here is important. So when they first arrive, they're only going to see the current month. But when they click on it, they will be able to filter, and see all kinds of different options. There's not a whole lot in the system yet. So if I select all years, it's going to go ahead and refresh the screen, and it's going to go ahead and pull up pretty much everything that's been created in the system so far. So from here, there's a lot that can be done. So, we see the scheduled meetings that have no links. Everything is kind of grayed out. It says not available. That means that nothing's been released, nothing's been published yet. So all they're getting is the basic meeting information. Then as staff at the county publish agendas, then a meeting details link and an agenda PDF will be pushed out here to the site. Then once the meeting is finished, then you're going to wind up having a final action link out here. Then you're also eventually going to have the published PDF minutes document. And then you will also have video and audio links as well. If we kind of scroll down a little bit, this is kind of an idea of what that'll look like. So all of these things are released. All these links are available based on when you staff, whether it's agenda staff, minute staff, whoever it may be, they have to do specific things before this data is released. So what I'd like to do is just kind of come down here a little bit. Let's go ahead and let's pick one and just take a quick look through some of the details. I guess we'll just go up here to, we'll try this one here. That's a zoning one. I don't want a zoning one. Board of Commissioners. Let's get one of those with some minutes. Here we are. The meeting details link is really where the meat of the agenda and minutes data is going to be found. So you're going to have PDF versions of minutes and agendas and things, but the meeting details is really where the meat of it is. So when the public goes here, or even any staff at the county can come here, when they go into meeting details, they get information and statuses on everything. Status of the agenda, status of the minutes. They have access to the PDFs here as well. But when they come down here, they're going to be able to take a look at the agenda in its entirety. And once a meeting takes place and once Legistar minutes are produced and published, then the public can come out here and actually drill down. What actions were taken, what were the results, pass, fail, etc. And then you've got other links here like action details. So the public can drill down even farther on an item and they can come in and see the motion text that was created. They can see how everybody voted. And you'll notice that in a lot of these screens, when you drill down in the detail, you've got some tabs here. And even up here at just the broad meeting level. So they can come in and they can sort as they see fit, and they can export the data that's on the screen in an Excel, PDF, or Word format. So same here, sorting and exporting. Everything in the system is going to have a file ID, and that is that will always be hyperlinked in the system. That will actually take them to the details of that specific agenda item. So that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be creating agenda items or kind of going through that process. So the public can drill down at an individual item level. They can see the item type. title, so to speak, that you're putting in, any supporting documents or attachments that you attach to that agenda item, they'll be able to access. And, you know, if that item has been on more than one agenda, been a part of, you know, one or more meeting, whether it's the BCC or a different meeting body, or maybe it's passed back and forth between meeting bodies, all that'll be captured out here under the history tab. And out here again, we've got sorting and we've got exporting. And then we've got a text tab that the public can drill down to. And the text tab is going to allow them to see the entire report that you guys are going to wind up filling out, which we'll see here in a bit. So there's a lot of information out here. They can even sign up for RSS feeds. They can actually sign up for alerts if, you know, if they're, sometimes the media signs up for alerts. So they'll go in and create an account for themselves. I'll show you that here in a second. And, you know, they'll put in keywords. I want to be notified anytime an agenda has this keyword or this phrase on it. And it'll send an alert to them via an email. The search agenda items tab is where you can go in and search pretty much anything that's ever been on an agenda in Legistar. And, you know, here you've got the search field. You can put in terms and words, things like that. And when you put in a term or a word here, you can use some of these drop downs and check boxes to kind of filter or be more precise on what you're searching through. One of the nice things about the insight page is that if you check the attachments box, the search will actually search through all of the supporting documents that you've loaded in Legistar that are a part of that published agenda. As long as those documents are readable, as long as they're OCR compliant. And I believe you guys will be loading, I think, nothing but PDFs into the system anyway. All of those should be searchable. Normally, what I recommend, though, is coming over and clicking on Advanced Search. This is a more comprehensive way of searching the database. So in here, you've got, you know, not only can you put in date ranges on agenda dates and when an actual item was created, but you've got all these different fields and dropdowns that are available in the Files module that you guys will be filling out. So you can definitely be more precise. You know, in a county of your size, it's not going to take long to have thousands, tens of thousands, or even hundreds of thousands of agenda items in the database. So you'll probably want to be a little more precise. So that's just kind of a quick run through. Get back to the calendar tab here. Up at the very, very top right, there's a sign-in link. The public can actually click on that and create an account for themselves. The system manages the usernames and passwords for them and all that kind of stuff. So nobody there at the county has to worry about managing that. But if they click on sign in and create an account for themselves, then they can go ahead and sign up for alerts or RSS feeds. And if they find an agenda item or something that they want to share on social media, they can click on share. And there's dozens of different social medias available in there. And of course, your common Facebook, Twitters, and stuff. So it's pretty comprehensive out here, and you know, normally takes a little bit of time for staff as well as the public to kind of educate themselves on using this. But I encourage you, if you've got some time over the upcoming weeks, to kind of come out here and just click around and do some searching to kind of get a good feel for how this works. So that's kind of a review of the public-facing insight page, as Granicus calls it. All right, so I hope that was pretty helpful for you. Any questions, any thoughts?
All shaking their heads.
Gotcha. All right, step number two. We've got the insight review. Now what we're going to do is just watch up on the screen here. And I'm just going to quickly go through the process of creating an agenda item. And the steps that I'm going to be doing are basically the steps that are in this guide here. I'm going to pull this off to the side. So I'm going to talk, you know, relatively fast. I'm not going to give a whole lot of explanation. I'll just kind of talk out loud as I'm doing the steps, but I'm going to be pretty quick. And again, it's just to kind of show you the end result, basically, of what we're about to do, you know, how quick it can be and how simple it can be, you know, once you kind of do it a few times. All right, so here we go. I'm going to go to the Files module. This is step one. Create a new agenda item, go to the Files module. I'm going to go up to the top and I'm going to click New. And I've got some fields to pre-populate, and we'll talk all about that a little bit later. I can change the file type if I want. I'm going to be restricted here. I can go ahead and go to the agenda date. And I've got a meeting that we can use for training. We can use Saturday the 1st. So once I fill in that information, I'm actually going to go directly to the first tab, which is the report tab. So we're already on step two. Make sure I'm on the report tab. I'm going to disregard everything except the edit button. That's what I've got circled on that user guide. And this is going to open up Microsoft Word. So you have to be patient with this on your screen. You can't see it on mine because I have double screens, but at the lower right corner of your screen, you're going to see a rectangular light blue box, or a rectangle, I should say. When you click on that edit button, it's communicating with Microsoft Word. It's opening up a Microsoft Word document. And once that opens, then we can go ahead and do a few steps to get to some specific templates that your core team has built for you. And these templates, you guys own the templates. So you can create new ones, edit the existing ones, et cetera. Your core team can, your administrators. All right, Word document opens. So I'm going to go straight to add-ins up here, and I'm going to go straight over here, and I'm going to select the applicable template, and I'm going to select BCC template for today's training. And when you do that, you're going to get a box. Just always say yes, and it's going to load in that pre-built template. So what we want to do is just go through and be very specific. We want to fill in the screens or the fields specifically. So I can come in here. I'll just put my name in here, but you would be putting in, of course, somebody else's name, like Stephen Wolfson or whoever needs to go in here. And the next thing you're going to do is go down to the recommendation. And I'm just going to do a quick copy and paste in here. So you can copy and paste. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we do this second round of going through the process. Fill in everything else that's applicable. I'm going to go ahead and make this demonstration pretty quick. Background is probably going to be different than the recommendation, but just to get something in here, I'm going to go ahead and populate that. So once you fill this in, I can go up and click the save icon at the top left. That's kind of the old school save. Or I can just close the Word document and click Save Here. So that's really all I want to do. I don't want to go to File and Save As or do any of that stuff. Now, once I do that, I'm going to see that light blue rectangle again at the bottom left of my screen. So now what the system's doing is it's taking everything that I put into that Word document on my computer, and it's basically uploading it to the Legistar database. So your Legistar database is actually out on the cloud. All right, so that's filling out my agenda report, ignoring everything else. If I needed to make changes to it, I would just go ahead and click the edit button again, make changes to the document, click the save icon again, close out, and do the same exact steps. Again, disregarding everything else here. All right, on to step step three is the attachments tab. So this is where you add your supporting documentation. For this exercise, I'm going to go down to the bottom left and click the attach button. And it's going to open up a window I'm sure you're all familiar with that I can go ahead and just navigate and select my documentation. Now, for the purposes of training, you're going to have some documents in your My Documents folder. And we'll go through how to get to that if you don't know how to do that. But you can use Shift and Control, and you can select multiple documents. It's going to load it into the system here. So now these documents are in the Legistar database. And just to make the demo pretty quick, I probably don't want the public to see, you know, sample contract engagement PDF. So I'm going to select it. I'm going to come over here to the name field, and I'm going to change it to what I want the public to actually see as far as the name of the document goes. Come down, click update attachment details, changes in the grid. So I'm most interested in, of course, what's in the grid there. That is what the public and everybody else will see on the published agenda. You know, I think I want the resolution first, the contract second, so I can select resolution or contract and move them with the arrows. And we'll talk further about attachments when we do our second walkthrough. So that's kind of adding my supporting documents. Go to the details tab. This is really just, most of you are going to be locked out of this field, but you should see your department here, your email address, things like that. There are other staff that have editing capabilities to certain areas of these agenda items. So depending on what user group or security group you belong to kind of dictates the permissions that you have in the system. So basically things that you can and can't do, you know, fields that you can edit or you can't edit, things like that. So if you're trying to edit a field and you get a message that you can, it's because you're a part of a user group that is kind of restricted from those. So as far as drafting goes or the coordinators, things like that, I don't think you're going to be filling in any other fields, probably just skipping over the details tab potentially. Next, I'm going to go to approval tracking. I'm going to come down. I'm going to click add sequence, and I'm going to select the appropriate pre-built approval sequence. Now, for the purpose of training, I'd like everybody to use the one that says use for trainings. Or use for training. I'm going to select it. It's going to load the sequence, and then I'm going to come down and I'm going to click start. When I click start, I'm going to get a brief pop-up message. It's basically going to want confirmation, and that's important because when you start an approval workflow, the status of the file changes. The first person in the sequence gets an email notification, and now the approval workflow starts. So we want to make sure we're ready when we click yes. Again, so we'll go through all these steps again, slower and more detail here in a little bit, but that's what we're going to cover, basically creating your agenda report, an agenda item. All right. And again, you don't have to go through all the steps and start the sequence. You can always come in here, you know, click new, fill in some information. Maybe you don't know all of the agenda report information yet, or maybe you're waiting for your supporting documents, things like that. So you can always come in here and start it by clicking new and then, you know, just continue to work on it. And then eventually you'll make your way here, load and start a sequence. All right, so that's the quick walkthrough. So now what we're gonna do is we're going to go ahead and do it together now. First, we'll visit your local settings, but then we'll go through and we'll do a complete walkthrough. You guys will use the handout as we kind of go along, and I'll talk a little more in detail about some of these tabs. Sound good?
Yep, we're ready.
All right, ready. Let's do it. All right, now you guys can go ahead, grab your mouse, grab your keyboard. Let's go ahead and dive in here. Home screen. I think everybody's on the home screen. So let's go ahead and go up to tools, and we're going to select local settings.
Put your department in there.
So we're going to go ahead and talk through specific areas in here. So not everything applies to staff who create items or staff who approve items. So there's certain areas in here that only apply to certain staff, and we're going to be very specific. All right, so personal settings, the general tab, it should pretty much look just like mine. We're just going to go ahead and leave everything set as is. Those are good defaults. There's no need to go in and change those. What we are interested in is the next one, legislative files. So if everybody could click legislative files. This is really where you, as you know, coordinators, drafters, staff who create agenda items, even if you're an approver, if you ever come in the system and create agenda items, you're going to want to come into this area. Even staff that work on agendas and minutes, same concept. So here we are going to talk about fields. The first one should be set to yes. We want to leave it set to yes. Next is default body sponsor. And we can confirm with Darlene and team, and Monica and team. Are you guys using sponsors?
No, we are not.
Perfect. I just wanted everybody to kind of hear that from the core team. So we can leave that to none. That's not applicable to how you're using the system. So we're just going to leave it at none and skip over it. Next will be department. This is a very important field. You need to put in your department. The department plays a key role in your agenda items making their way onto the agenda in the appropriate agenda section. So please, everybody, select your department. Everybody good so far?
We have one person having some difficulty.
Okay. Can I assist, or do they just need to get caught up?
I think they need to get caught up.
It's technical issues.
Ah. Yeah, inevitable. There's always, it seems like there's always one computer, maybe two, that kind of has some technical issues. Let me know when I can proceed.
Thank you.
Everybody else good? Raise your hands.
Okay, we're good. Proceed.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So again, department is a very important field. We want to make sure that gets populated. And if we go down to controlling body and you click on that, you may see many different controlling bodies, departments, other things listed here. There's some settings that kind of control the default controlling body that you have access to in the back end. But what I recommend is go ahead and leaving it at Clark County Board of Commissioners. File status, we're going to leave that at draft. When you go into the files module, click the new button, we want it to be in draft status. It's not ready for the public to see it yet. It's not going through the approval process yet. The status of your files, the status of your agenda items will actually change through its life cycle in the system. So it'll start as draft, but it'll change when the approval workflow is happening. It'll change again when the approval process is completed. And it'll change again when staff go in and actually do the minutes in Legistar. So the status will change throughout the process, but we want it to start off in draft. So we'll leave that as is. Next, let's go and click on default file type. So hopefully the list looks somewhat familiar to you, but this is just basically what type of agenda items can you create in the system to go on the various agendas. By filling this in, we're just kind of setting a default. So even if I leave it at consent, or even if I change it to something different, like routine item, every time I create a file, I can change that on the fly if I need to. So just remember, this is just a default. And so the purpose or the goal here would be, if you create consent agenda items most often, then we wanted that consent. If you create routine items or ordinances or resolutions most often, then go ahead and set it to that. And then this one, you're not using sponsors, so we leave that to none. Everybody good so far?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. We're going to skip over agendas, minutes, file locations. Feel free to click on color settings. So in Legistar, there's certain text and certain focus fields and things that you can change the coloring on. If you're passionate about colors in the program, feel free to come down here and change that. But really, it's just all about the legislative files tab and really specifically the department. All right, so we did make some changes. We want to come up to the top left and click save. Now these are local settings. So that means they're going to be specific to you, the person who's currently logged in. Because you're not at your desk, because you're in a training room, please, when you get back to your desk and you open up Legistar, go to home, go to tools, go to local settings, and check the legislative file settings. They should save. If they don't, then you'll need to fill them in. They should save to your profile, but again, sometimes it only saves to a computer for some reason. So again, when you get back to your desk, you log into Legistar, just make sure you've got your department and things filled in. All right. Second tab up here next to personal settings is password. So this is where you can change your password. You've got the default password, the word password, all lowercase. This is your opportunity to change that. So let's go ahead and take a moment to do that. Please make your new password at least 5 characters. But it doesn't have to be a mixture of upper, lower, special character, unless you guys have a specific policy to do so. When you put in your new password, make sure to click save up at the top left. Since I don't have eyes in the room there, is everybody successful in changing the password, or does anybody need another minute or two?
Looks like everybody's done. If you're having issues,
right? Everybody's done? Okay. All right, and we're not going to talk about out of office. For people who create items, they don't use out of office, but this is something that your approvers will use. And basically, the takeaway for this, it's not like Microsoft Outlook. It's not as sophisticated, but they can come in here and turn on out of office, and then they can basically set someone to be their backup while they're away. And then they can come in and turn it off by setting it to no. So if an approver goes in, let's say you're creating an agenda item, you load an approval workflow and you start it, and the first person in the approval sequence is supposed to get, you know, sign off on the item. If they have out of office turned on, it'll actually reassign it to whoever they indicate as their alternate here. So you, the person who creates these agenda items, it's good for you to know that your approvers can come in here and set an out of office and have things kind of get reassigned to someone else while they're out. Okay, so that's it. Personal settings, local settings. All right, everybody click save to save the settings. I think we're good to go. Let's go ahead and click back on the home screen briefly. All right, everybody on the home screen. All right, the home screen is basically a dashboard, and it's specific to you, the person who's logged in. And depending on what you do in Legistar, kind of depends on whether or not certain areas will have anything displayed. So recent files, you're always going to have something there. So this is basically just files or agenda items that you guys have recently been working on. Even if you just search for one, even if you just look at one, they're going to show up here. So it's just going to be a running list, and it'll be ever changing. So the older ones will be at the bottom, newer ones will be at the top, the older ones will eventually drop off. So again, ever changing, just recent files or items that you've again created, looked at, edited, touched in any way. And it's nice because you can just click on them and go directly to them in the system. So things you've recently been working on, you don't have to go into the files module and search for it and do all that kind of stuff. You should be able to just come here to recent files, click on it, and continue working on it. So recent agendas is the same concept. Now, a lot of you probably aren't working on agendas, things like that, so you may not ever have anything here. And recent minutes is the same way, but notice mine is actually grayed out. So again, I mentioned before that user groups, staff that are associated or a part of user groups, those user groups have certain permissions in the system. So your core team, your Legistar administrators have made decisions on, you know, what people have access to and not access to, and editing rights and not editing rights. So depending on your role with Legistar, you know, you may or may not have the same permissions as somebody else. If it's gray like recent minutes, then that's telling me right away that I don't have access to the minutes module, period. So I wouldn't be able to see draft minutes, published minutes, any kind of minutes. So if it's grayed out, don't have access. And then the bottom right is your approvers queue. So when I train your approvers, all they have to do is go to the home screen, look at the bottom right. If there's anything there, those are the agenda items that are currently assigned to them to review and approve. So they don't really have to do much searching to find out if anything's assigned to them. So that's the home screen, basically a dashboard. And then over here on the left are the different modules in Legistar. Files, we have an agendas module where staff goes to work on and publish agendas. Minutes module, work on and publish minutes. And then we have a search here. So the search here really only searches legislative text. And that legislative text is for the most part what's in the Microsoft Word document, things like that. So the searching in here in this module is actually limited. Usually what we recommend is searching via the files module itself. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a second, because the files module is going to be very similar to doing an advanced search on that public facing insight page. You have access to every single field and dropdown that you would ever need in that files module. All right. Let's go ahead and have everybody click on the files module. So now that we've gotten through with local settings, we're going to go ahead and talk about creating a new agenda item. And this will be your opportunity to click and follow along, get a little bit of hands-on. And I'll talk a little more in detail about some of these tabs. First thing I want to do is bring to your attention, when you first come into the files module, if you go up to the top here, above the search button, it actually says search mode. So when you first go into the files module, you're in search mode. So if I started filling in fields, I'm actually not creating a new agenda item or agenda report. I'm actually specifying search criteria. Important to remember. And that's why I recommend using the files module for searching, because every possible field is in here. And you can use any field by itself or in combination with other fields to basically do an advanced search in the database. So all these fields up here, you can type in information, select, and then even the tabs. You can even type in something in the name field in the attachments tab, and it'll search through the database and try to find attachments with that name. So basically anything that's a field in here, you can search for. Something important to keep in mind about searching in Legistar. At this time, the Legistar search feature, even if I come up here to the easy text search and just type in a keyword up there, it does not search through documents at this time. That's a kind of a limitation in the system. Now, the public facing insight page I mentioned, you can search through documents, attachments through the insight page. That does work. But there's a difference between the insight page and doing a search here. The difference is on the public facing website, you're only able to search stuff that's been published, stuff that's actually accessible to the public. Whereas if you do searching in here, of course, you can search for stuff that's already been published, but you can also search for stuff in here that's still in draft status or something that's still going through the approval process. So just to, again, to keep in mind that at least currently, we cannot search through documents in the system. All right, so that is searching. And again, first arrive, we're in search mode. All right, so if everybody would make sure you're on the files module, click the agenda tab here, just make sure that that's kind of selected. And now what we're gonna do is we're gonna go ahead and go through the process of creating an item. So what I'd like you to do is have this guide kind of sitting next to you. And I'd like you to reference it as we kind of talk through it. All right, so step one, let's go ahead and click on new. We're gonna go ahead and create an agenda item. And I think in the room we have people from different departments, correct?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, all right.
If you guys will notice the item ID, the configuration for that is those first two digits is always your year. So you're gonna see a switch over for every calendar.
Excellent. Yeah, I was actually just going to comment on that. Yeah, item ID, first two digits of the year. It's something that's auto-generated by the system. So every time you click on new, it's going to go ahead and pop, create an ID. Not something that you're interested in. We're not going to be changing it. Type, go ahead and click on type. So I mentioned before, your type should pre-populate with whatever you had in your local settings, but again, on the fly, you can always select something different if you need to. Now, I think everybody in the room brought at least one or two agenda reports, correct?
I don't report like it. Nobody brought one.
Okay. Oh, nobody brought one? Okay. Gotcha. No worries. I'm sure you guys have created enough agenda reports in your time to come up with something off the top of your head. So go ahead and select a type. And kind of looking at the guide here, we're just going to focus on boxes that have red. So you'll probably notice if you click on in control, most of you probably only have your department listed there. Now, again, depending on the user group that you belong to, the permissions that you have, and other things like that, you could have more than one option here. My guess.
Note on that, should end up saying Clark County Board of Commissioners for most of you, and that should only be your only option once we pick configuration. So right now, it'll probably, for most of you, be your department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of settings.
Yeah, just a comment on that too. You know, you're still, it's still a work in progress as far as getting your system set up. Your core team has spent a considerable amount of time with you know, Granicus and themselves trying to get things set up. So definitely a work in progress. All right. All right, kind of looking at the red rectangles or squares on that document, the next thing we're going to do is just come down here to agenda date. So if everybody wouldn't mind putting in August 1st as the date, unless Monica or Darlene, if you have a different agenda date that you'd like them to select, we can go ahead and just use August 1st.
Cindy did create one for August 27th.
Okay. All right. If you want everybody in the room to select August 27th, we can do that.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I'm going to keep mine to August 1st just because mine is probably not going to be a very realistic agenda item. So I'll keep it off that agenda. All right. So again, focusing on the X's, or X's, good Lord, the red rectangles, that's all we're going to focus on. Now we're going to move to the tab, and we're going to click Edit. So if everybody would click the Edit button. Notice at the bottom right corner of your screen, you should see a light blue rectangle. That's kind of a status. So depending on how new or old your computer is at your desk and the version of Microsoft Word you're using and all kinds of other factors, it could take a little bit of time for this Microsoft Word document to open. So be patient. Let it do its thing. Don't click Edit more than once. If you click Edit more than once, then you're going to wind up opening up more than one Microsoft Word document. And then at that point, you or the system may be confused on which one you're working on.
Show of hands, does anybody have the Word document open?
And I don't know.
Nobody has a pop-up box. Okay, looks like we're good.
Well, there's some of the people aren't too bad.
Okay, are we good?
Yes, Microsoft Word is open for everybody.
Okay, perfect. All right, let's go directly to the Add-ins tab. First confirmation, does everybody see the Add-ins tab? Raise your hand if you don't see it. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and go to Templates. And let's go ahead and select BCC Template.
Should we always do that one?
You can do, if you're UMC, the UMC should work.
And then this
should work.
This will replace and save current documents.
Yeah. You always want to do that.
If you find out it's not working, we can I get back to it? Worst case is I have to go back and update that one in the system.
Okay.
But it should work. It should look like your normal template.
Yep.
Everybody good so far?
I think so.
I don't know why it's not replacing it. You have to click yes when it asks, but if it doesn't replace it, I'm not sure.
All right, we have a couple people that the template's not working.
What is it doing?
It's just not replacing it. It's not loading anything. The add-in's there. It asks if you want to replace, but it just doesn't load.
Okay. I've actually not seen that before. We may have to get Brian involved to do some technical troubleshooting with you.
So I know there's two more that are having that. For those two, let's try closing out of Word and with Legistar, reopening up and logging into Legistar to see if we can get it to load up correctly. Wondering if the install just didn't go right. But it should load up with your normal template that you guys are used to. And it should work basically like the template if you are editing it in prior.
So we're having a reload, so let's give it a
There's only two that need to reload.
Well,
okay, no worries. No worries.
Yeah, he's gonna move on.
Yeah, if you guys have recently created an agenda item, you know, feel free to use that recommendation, some of that background as well. You've probably got something recent that might be at the front of your mind there to use. And Michael or Mike, I apologize, I don't know which you prefer.
Yeah.
But brings up a very good point. You know, if you come across errors or something not working, usually one of the first things we recommend is closing Legistar and relogging in, reopening it again as kind of the first step to troubleshooting. The Microsoft Word template issue that there may have been something wrong with the install, and that's a possibility.
Yeah, but it should come over from the refresh on a reload. But it doesn't appear to be working for all users. I've had one already do that at least once.
Is it working for some of the users?
Some of the users, but there's three that can't get to it.
Okay. Well, it's good that it's working for some. So it's probably something specific with their machines or the Word install or something.
We'll just have the three play along as if the item is there, I guess.
Okay. Let me know when you're ready for me to continue.
We can continue.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead at this point. And I'll do it differently than I did the first time. I'll click the old school save icon first, and then I'll click the X. So if I do it that way, I don't get the save pop-up box. It just closes. And then, of course, bottom right corner of the screen, I see the light blue rectangle, and it will eventually load in my agenda report or agenda item information. Notice that the title box populated now automatically with what I had put in the recommendation. So we don't want you to type into the title box directly. We want that title box populated through that Microsoft Word document. All right, so just a quick check-in with everybody whose Microsoft Word templates were working. Was everybody successful in getting everything to load into the Legistar screen?
I'm not there yet.
That's okay.
So we just save it?
You can click the X at the top right of the Microsoft Word document and then click Save when it produces the pop-up box.
So it closes out. Okay.
And then you should see the light blue rectangle at the bottom right corner for hopefully just a couple of seconds, and then you'll see the information in Legistar.
I will say, if you guys want to save a local copy of it for personal use, you can do a save as before closing it out. If you want a local editable version of it. Yep, you just click edit again. I believe you'll end up going down.
So is everybody successful in getting it loaded? We good to continue?
And we got a question of whether or not you could edit this after the fact, and we just let them know you can go back into edit.
Yep, like mentioned before, yeah, you just click the edit button again, opens up Microsoft Word again, and you just follow the same steps.
And to be clear, you need to click edit to edit it. Do not edit it in that big field or edit the title area. Go click edit, load up the document, edit it that way. Because that document is saved in the system, and it is used later on in this process to create other documents. So you need to edit it correctly. So.
right, other questions? Okay, we good to continue?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and using our guide here, kind of scroll down. Now we're on step three, which is the attachments tab. And I've got some details in here about the attachments tab. I showed you a little bit of the functionality earlier. Earlier, when we were on the attachments tab, I clicked the attach button. There's another way to get attachments or documents into the Legistar system. If you open up this window outside of Legistar, so if you don't click attach and you just open up your Windows Explorer window separately, then you can navigate to where your documents are and you can go ahead and drag and drop in here as well.
Everyone has a PDF saved in My Documents under Templates. So if you go to this PC, My Documents, and you look at the templates, there should be a PDF in there. Which is actually the BBC calendar.
All right, I'd like you to load at least two documents, and if you only have one document in My Folders, that's fine. Just go ahead and load the same document twice. Once you get two documents in here, we'll go ahead and I'll show you, and we can play around with things you can do with the documents. So I just want to check in. Has everybody got two documents or two attachments loaded?
Yeah.
Was that a yes?
Any problem with loading a document?
I am.
Go around this PC and documents. Yes. And if you want to put this back in, you can this.
So how are we doing?
Almost there.
Almost there. Okay. If I'm going too fast, please let me know.
Okay. Everybody have two? In the room about attaching documents other than a PDF? documents be a PDF. So you, if you have a Word document, you just need to convert it to PDF before you upload it. Otherwise, it takes the VCC agenda a significant amount of time to populate. So it would really, really help Cindy over here. She would greatly appreciate it if they were all PDF.
It takes at least a half hour for a regular size agenda.
So does everybody have at least two documents loaded? Now, I didn't quite hear that.
We've got one person still working on it, so if we could just have a couple more
okay.
minutes.
All right. Let me know when you're ready.
Thank you. It's got to be pushed.
I just couldn't get to the template either.
Right. We're still able to get to the template on the new one without the template.
Okay, are we ready to move forward?
Yeah, I think we can move forward.
Okay. All right. And again, just a reminder, you know, the drafting items guide that provided to you has a lot of good information in there, you know, things like the different documents you can attach, things like that. So, you know, please reference this as you're going through the process of learning the system. All right, let's talk more about attachments. So earlier when I did the review, I showed you how you can change the name of the attachment. So they're going to load in with the name, however it's named on your computer, network, etc. But the name of the attachment is important because that's the name that the public's going to see. That's the name of the hyperlinks on the published agenda. So if you need to change the name of an attachment, you select it in the grid, and then you come over here to the name field and you go ahead and modify it. Come down and click Update Attachment Details. So go ahead and do that. Go ahead and change the name of one or both of your attachments. And the order may matter. You may want, you know, a specific document first and then the rest of them following. That's what the arrows are for. You have the ability to select documents in the grid and use the arrows to move them around. All right, a few other things about attachments. Down here at the bottom, and I do have this in the guide as well, there's some other buttons. The first is remove. That is your delete button. So I can delete an attachment, or I can click on the drop down and delete all of the attachments in the grid. There's also a replace button. So if I need to make changes to this sample resolution document, there's two ways I can do that. I can actually open up the document straight from Legistar and make changes and save it directly back into Legistar. And I'll show you that here in a second. Or I can use the replace button. So replace would be, let's say that you guys have a process in place where the official document is maybe out on your network drive somewhere, or maybe it's in a document management system. If that's the case, then you want to modify that document and then upload the updated version into the system. And we can do that by using replace. So if I wanted to replace the sample resolution doc with an updated one, then I could select it in the grid, click replace, and then I just go out to wherever that updated one is, select it, and then it automatically replaces it. The nice thing about that feature is it doesn't change the name. The name of the attachment stays the same in the grid.
Sorry, how do you get, can you show that one more time?
What was the question?
Where's replace?
You can't. Yeah.
Oh, down at the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
On our screen.
Oh, okay, it's way down here.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and again, you know, can you not see the bottom of my screen?
No.
There we go.
Okay. All right, so yes, down at the bottom. I've also got a screenshot of it as well in the guide.
And
all right.
Being replaced because it'll take an Adobe Pro version in order to update any documents since they'll all be PDFs. And not a lot of people in the department have Adobe Pro. So you'll probably want to use replace.
Yeah, and that gets to what I was going to say next. If you want to update the document that's in Legistar, you can double click it in the grid or you can select it and come down and click launch. Either one opens up the document that is saved in Legistar. And yes, you would need Adobe Acrobat Standard or Pro to edit these if these are PDF documents. But just so that you guys can see, if I come in here and I update something, and then I exit out of it, it's going to want, do I want to save my changes? Yes, of course. But then I'm going to get another pop-up box that basically says, do you want to save it back into Legistar? So keep in mind, when you load something in Legistar, it's saved in the Legistar database. The document that's in the Legistar database is not the same document that you have on your network or on your computer. You really have two documents. All right. One other thing to point out, next to attach, there's a drop-down arrow here, pretty small. If you click on that, you can attach a hyperlink and you can also scan documents directly into Legistar as well. But I believe you're primarily just going to be loading in PDFs probably from your computer or network location.
Right.
All right. So in the guide, I did put in here, you know, the common documents you can load in. I think you guys are doing primarily PDFs. We recommend around 100 megabytes, you know, maybe 150 megabytes. You know, if you get anything larger than that, we recommend compressing it or splitting it. if you put in huge documents, it could actually prevent the agenda packet from being generated. So like if you have this huge GIS map that's like 2 gigs or something, it'll probably not even load into the system. It'd probably time out long before it ever loaded in. And if you happen to get it in, it probably would break the agenda packet process. All right.
We have to call you.
You guys have any questions on attachments, supporting documents? Okay.
When we do the staff report, they're supposed to move it to the first position, correct?
After it's final.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Notice just briefly, there is kind of a spell check in the system. So you notice I didn't spell staff right. I don't know if you can see, but there's a tiny little red squiggly line there. Can be helpful. All right, next, let's go to step 4, details tab. So really all we're doing is just kind of working our way across the tabs. So notice, and everybody can kind of test this, because I know you're all part of different departments, but click on the department field dropdown. And I just want to confirm, does everybody get a pop-up box that says this field is locked?
Yes.
Okay. Now there are some staff that won't, again, if you know, depending on what user group you're a part of, but I just wanted to bring this up to the team because remember when we started out in local settings, we were putting in a department. And that's an important step because it populates this field. And this is important for sorting on the agenda. You do not have permissions to access this field. So if you forget to put your department in local settings, then when you click new and create an item, it's going to be blank. It's going to be empty. And that ultimately means that this item may not make it onto the agenda at all or in the appropriate spot. So important local settings department. All right, so everything else in here, your email address, you know, some staff have the ability to put in certain internal notes, some don't. It's just an internal notes field, not visible to the public, doesn't go on any reports. You'd literally have to find the file, come to this tab to even see it. And then you have other fields here like agenda number. That'll be filled in later by the system if applicable. You know, bill number, effective date, you know, when applicable, staff can come in here and fill that in. And you may or may not have permissions to even edit these fields as well. So again, it kind of depends on the user group that you're a part of. There is a last edit button that is located here in details, and I like everybody to click on that and take a quick peek. So it's like an audit log. So the system documents or tracks, you know, who comes in here and who does things to these files. So, a little encrypted, but it is documented. All right. Now, when you go into a screen like this, and sometimes when you go into like reports and other things like that, you need to click on the close button that's at the very top right. Because you'll notice if you try to click anywhere in here, like to go into a different module or anything, it doesn't let you. So there are certain screens on Legistar where we have to click close at the top right to get out and back to where we were at. So that's really it for the details tab. Any questions? Okay. In the guide, we can go ahead and go to step 5. And before we talk about step 5 in the guide here, I do want to point out that there is one other tab here that I do not have in the guide. And this tab is not related to creating agenda items. It's not related to that process or approving or anything else. This tab does document the minutes, though, because the file is the record. So when this consent item makes its way on the BCC or any other meeting body, or let's say it gets, you know, kind of, let's say it starts in a committee, then goes to BCC, and or maybe goes to BCC two or three times, whatever it may be, all of those are going to be documented here. So every time it's a part of a meeting and there's minutes done on it in the system, there'll be a separate line here documenting the minutes. All right, so most staff do not have the ability to edit that data. All right, let's jump back to approval tracking. Mentioned before, you can start working on an item. You don't always have to go through all the steps, go to the approval tracking, load it and start it. You can work on this over a period of time. And then when you're ready, you can come down and click on the add sequence. Now these are filtered. So depending on what department you're in, your Legistar administrators assign a department to your people record and things like that. And you know, they are filtering these sequences. So in this example, I have access to the district attorney's office, and depending what department you're in, you would see something different. There can be some sequences that are available to everybody though, and that would be an example of use for training. So everybody sees that one.
Can I just add that more quick? Please.
Sure.
Let us know if there's something not correct about it. Should be going to a different person or something of that sort. As hard as we try to keep up with that flow, it's constantly changing. So just let us know if you need to have an updated sequence.
Yes, very good point. And again, you're currently, you know, still getting things set up, kind of still going through deployment and things like that. So not all the approval sequences may be built yet, and some of them may need some tweaks. So just kind of keep that in mind, but yet let the core team know. So what I'd like to do is just have everybody select their department. So we're going to go back and use the use for training, but I'd like everybody to select, in my case, it's district attorney's office, but everybody else should be seeing at least one other one there. I just want you to get an idea of what a real one looks like. So please don't click start, but let's kind of talk about what we see on the screen. So you could even load the sequence and then come back and continue to work on it. You know, we haven't clicked start yet, so that's the important step that we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But for now, let's kind of talk about what we have on the screen. We have a grid, and there are additional columns to the right, and we can access those using the scroll bar here. And notice it documents quite a bit. You know, once we click start, we're going to get a status. It's going to give us a due date. And then when staff come in, approvers come in and approve it or disapprove it or do whatever they do, you know, it's going to document their action. It's going to timestamp it. And then if it goes into escalation, it'll timestamp that. And I'll talk about escalation here in a minute. Right. And then there's a notes column. So each, not FYIs, but anyone who's an action type of approver, when it's assigned to them in the queue, they can put in some notes. And I'll show you how to access those in a few. But this is kind of the flag, yes or no, whether or not they put in some notes. So scroll bar, grid, columns. Let's talk about some of these columns here so that you understand the differences between some of these labels here. First is the action type. So when, you know, when your core team and your Legistar administrators pre-build these sequences, they tell the system for each person that's in the list, really what is their role. So approver, the action type of approver, means that Marianne needs to actually come into the system and approve it or disapprove it or delegate it to somebody else. So she has to come in and do some kind of action. If I see an action type of FYI, Jeff doesn't need to come into the system and do any type of approval or disapproval or delegation, and Jeff actually won't be able to. The action type of FYI, when it reaches Jeff in the list, he's just going to get a brief informational email, and then it's going to automatically move on to the next person. Email templates, that's more for your administrators, but every time we assign an action type, we also assign an email template, and it's just making sure that, you know, the appropriate email is being sent based on the appropriate action type. In other words, so that the person knows what they're supposed to do, if anything. And then we have due days. So again, FYI action types, they don't do anything in the system, so they don't have a due days. It's not applicable. Those are sent immediately, and then it moves on to the next person. So due days is important for you and approvers and everybody else to kind of understand. These are business days. So it recognizes the weekend, does not recognize holidays, just so you know. Was that a question? Was that a question?
Can they approve it remotely?
Yes, approvers can go to the public facing insight page that we saw earlier, and they can approve from there. Okay. So no excuses, right? right. Anyway, yes, and we do train them on how to do that as well. Okay, these are sequential. So, you know, Jeff and Pamela, they're not, anybody else in this list here, they're not going to be able to, they're not going to get their FYI email, and they're not going to be able to do anything to this item until it reaches them in the list. So it's going to start out being assigned to the first person, and then it's going to sequentially work its way through the list. All right, let's talk about escalation. This is important for you as coordinators, drafters, people who create items. It's important to know how this impacts your agenda item. The two business days, when those two business days are up, the system will go into escalation. That's because the approver didn't do anything within the assigned due day period. When that happens, the system looks into the approver's people record in administration. So it's going to look at Mary Ann's people record, and it's going to see if your core team and your administrators had assigned a permanent alternate backup for Mary Ann. This is different than the out of office. The out of office is not even related to this escalation process. This is kind of a permanently assigned backup, if you will. If someone is assigned, then the system will actually reassign it to that person automatically and plug that person into the list. And if that happens, it'll leave Mary Ann here and it'll document that it was escalated, put a timestamp, and that it was delegated to this other person. Not all of our customers use that feature. So if you guys are not assigning alternate approvers, then when the two business days end, the escalation process still happens, but there's no backup person assigned, so the system doesn't do anything. There's nobody to reassign it to. So it stays assigned to Mary Ann, and Mary Ann gets a daily reminder letting her know that she has an item to review and approve. So that is the escalation process as it relates to the due days. When we start this, which we'll do later, this escalate button, which is currently grayed out, will actually activate. That is a button that we can't deactivate. So everybody has access to that. People who create the items do. If you click that button, the escalate button, it behaves the same way as the escalation if the due days had passed. It's just your way as a coordinator or a drafter or the person who created the item, it's your way to escalate it manually. So if something happened to Mary Ann and she's not able to get to it, and you know she won't, and she didn't have an opportunity to set up her out of office or do anything else, you can come in here and you can click escalate right now, and it'll look in the people record and it'll reassign it if someone is a designated as a kind of an alternate or backup. Now remember though, if you guys aren't using that alternate backup field in the people record, then nothing will happen. You can still click escalate, but there's no one to reassign it to, so it just stays assigned to Marianne. So those are important things for you guys to know as it relates to the items that you create. Okay. You're going to see all these other buttons grayed out. You guys do not have permissions based on core team decisions to do any of these other features. So, you know, the good news is it's relatively straightforward here. You load it, you start it, and it's on its way. A couple other things to point out for you. Down at the bottom right corner of the approval tracking tab, there are three tabs. By default, we're on the first tab, which is manage approver. So as I select people in the list, it just shows me their information here. If everybody would click on approver action for me, that is the tab that your approvers are going to go to when they approve it, disapprove it, or delegate it, whatever they decide to do. And this is also where they're going to enter any notes, and this is where you would want to go to read those notes. Again, that's the approver action tab. Now, the system does send emails to you, the coordinator, at certain times. And it does send emails to the approvers and to other approvers as well, certain times. So there's certain things in the system that'll trigger emails. Let me talk through these. When an approver comes in and approves it and it goes on to the next person, you don't get an email, the person who created the item. If an approver comes in and disapproves it, the system is going to require them to type in the note field. And we're going to train your approvers to type in, you know, hopefully detailed notes why they're disapproving it. When they click disapprove, the system will do a couple of things. It will send an email to you, the person who created the item, so that you're aware. It's also going to send an email to everybody else that's been involved in the grid up to this point. So if it made it all the way here and this approver disapproves it, then you, the person who created it, will get an email letting you know that so-and-so disapproved it, but so will everybody else in the list. And everybody, including you, will be able to see the notes that this person who disapproved it put in the system. So that's the good thing. The email does contain the notes.
Okay, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Can they put in notes even if they approve it?
Sorry, that cut out. What was the question again?
Can they enter notes even if they approve it?
Yes. Yeah.
So, will it send an email if there's
notes? No. Yeah, so if they approve it and put in notes, it won't send an email containing the notes.
Okay.
Disapprove is one of those triggers that does send an email and it contains the notes. Now, disapprove is the only one that will send an email to everybody who's been involved up to that point. And the reason is because when someone disapproves it, it actually cancels the approval sequence. It sets the status eventually back to draft, and then it falls back into your lap, the person who created the item, the coordinator, the drafter. You're going to have to go in and make the changes or whatever that need to be made. You're probably going to need to come back, reload the sequence all over again and start it again so it can go through the sequence again and get signed off based on the new changes. So disapproved, a lot happens around that process.
So I'm going to say this now. We're probably going to tell people not to disapprove and to actually reach out to you guys. But hey, there needs to be a change done. Because to start over the sequence, especially with our rules we have now, and getting through the approval workflow, currently can't be get it through to the attorney, is really in the system. Because then it's the final step of it being agenda ready is that if you need to make changes after that, you have to get all of it. But before that, you could. So we're going to try not to have people disapprove and reach out to you. But, hey, we need this updated before it's final. And you guys, I've been talking to these aren't the final sequences. The final sequence is going to have someone from your department, be it you, maybe someone else that's entering items, be that final step to go in and make any of those final changes and do a couple of final steps before you finally do your final approval and lock the item. It's agenda ready, it's ready to go. So we do want to try to get these items done. The approval time frame is 2 days, but that's tricky to say 2 days. So we could really do 1 day. We have to do 2 days on it for each step. And that's just because the technicalities with the background of how the timing works and when they time the emails to go out to anyone and roll over to the next step, or it auto escalates and stuff like that. We're going to try not to have the approvers at the various steps disapprove it.
Can we disable those buttons for editing and just say disapprove?
I don't know if we can disable disapprove. We can look after the session. We can take a quick look and see.
Okay.
We'll still probably want to have whoever has it up that step get an issue if they're not editing it to reach out to you guys. So to either give you the details on the notes that to be edited, the finance needs to be done right or updated, or there's a zero in the wrong place or an extra one or something. I know finance is one of the big ones that's had issues sometimes with some of the items, so numbers be wrong. go ahead.
Okay. Now that's a prime example of what to expect during approver training and potentially after. So not uncommon that you guys may have to get together and discuss process as far as, you know, when do we do this versus when do we not do it? You know, if an approver emails you or calls you and says, hey, make this change, that's good. But is it something the rest of the approvers who's already signed off on it need to know about? And if that's the case, then you guys would have to come up with a process to inform them if you're not using the disapprove button. So normally when you talk about the approval process and everything involved, not uncommon to need, you know, some additional conversations after training.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not. You never know, you know. Okay, very good. All right, so again, there are other things that'll trigger emails to you, the creator of the item. If the approver delegates it to somebody else, you get an email letting you know that they delegated it to this other person. The other person who it's delegated to, they get an email letting them know that they now have something assigned to them. So the system does a pretty good job of keeping people in the loop and informed through the process. But anybody can come in here and take a look at, you know, come into the tab and take a look at where it's been, where it's going. They can scroll over, They can see if there's a yes or a no in the notes column. They can select the person, click the tab here to look at the notes if there are any notes. Now, you as the creator of the item, you don't have the ability to type in notes here. This is only for the approvers. So generally, if the creators of the items are putting in notes, it's typically done here in this field. But that again would be something you guys would want to talk about. It would have to be incorporated in the training, and everybody would need to know where to go to look for coordinator or drafter or creator notes if you decide to do that. So just keep in mind that only the approvers can type in notes when it's assigned to them.
So they can, if there are any notes you need to give to someone like Cindy, the agenda admin for the agenda, that'd be it. Cindy, I believe Marcy will still be her backup. If you guys have a note or something they need to know, please get a hold of them or email them. Because they, as the agenda admins from the agenda view, they won't really get notified if there's a note in there for that you want them to look at. So, yeah. If you got something they need to know that's special about the item, if there's a presentation or something that goes along with that item, whatnot, email. There's an agenda admin
All right, good to go.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I wanted everybody to load in a real sequence just so that you could kind of see a good example of what it might look like. But I also do that because let's say you have more than one to choose from and you loaded the wrong one. You do have the ability to load in a different one instead. So what I'd like everybody to do is make sure you're on the approval tracking tab here. Go down to the add sequence dropdown and select use for training. When you do that, you're going to get a pop-up. Do I want to append or replace? So append means add. Rarely are you going to add. We want to replace. So if everybody would select replace, it'll go ahead and load in the one you selected. So just a quick check-in with everybody in the room. Was everybody able to load in the training sequence?
Yes.
All right. Okay, well, let's go ahead and click start. So I did this on my quick walkthrough, and we know we're going to get a pop-up box. And again, that's important. It's just really confirming that you want to go ahead and start the approval process. Click yes. All right, a couple of things that happen that we can see. First, the status is no longer draft. So remember I mentioned earlier, the status of your agenda item, your file will change through its life. And now, because it's going through an approval process, it changes from draft to approval review. And as mentioned before, when the approval sequence is completely done, it'll change to something different. And then when the minutes process happens, it'll probably change to something different yet again. So the standard status of an item that completes the approval process is agenda ready. Now that can be tweaked and things like that based on individual approval sequences, but I think for the most part, all of yours are going to probably stick with the standard agenda ready. So anybody can come in and actually look at the status of a file and kind of tell where it's at in the process. All right, let's go down to the grid. Let's go ahead and click on one of the other names here so we can click off of the first one. Just want to point out that it's bold, and in my case, it's green. So the bold one is going to be the active one. There's our status, review requested, and then there's the due date. So at least we can see a little bit of information in. And then once this approver, you know, approves it or does whatever, then it's going to document the action they did and timestamp it and things like that. All right, couple of other things to talk about, and these are not in the guide. So if you have the guide in front of you, you know, feel free to take some notes on it. The first thing I wanted to talk about, which actually we probably should have talked about before we started the sequence. if everybody would do me a favor and go up to reports at the top right and select staff report. And Monica and team, feel free to kind of chime in here. But you guys said there's a feature here within this report where you can run this report and you can have the results of the report automatically load in as an attachment. So if I go staff report and I check this add report as attachment box, and as far as destination goes, you can do Word or PDF, and I think you guys want PDFs in as your standard for documents or attachments. And then click Run.
Staff report is the item. It's the item report. That's all of it. Change.
In case you guys didn't hear that, the staff report is actually the item itself.
Yes.
It's adding the template that you created earlier.
And now we just get confirmation that the report was added as an attachment. And typically, again, sorry to do this a lot of order, but you would do this probably prior to starting the approval process.
Actually, we'll probably be doing it at the end just in case there's.
But this will have to be done.
This has to be done.
Yeah.
So, okay. As Michael mentioned before, these are not the final sequences. You, as the coordinator, will be the last step in the sequence.
Ah, there you go.
Everyone else has already done their approvals. There were no changes, so you didn't have to do any changes. Once it comes back to you as the final approver, you'll approve it, you'll run the report, and you'll attach it.
Well, you'll do any changes that are needed.
Right.
You'll run the report then, and then you'll approve it. Because if you approve it before then, it's locked.
Okay.
And then you have to get all to me or Cindy or someone that has admin rights to unlock it.
So you have to do this before.
You run it before you actually get approved.
You have to do this.
Very last step.
Yeah, so
yes,
you'll be like the very last step in the sequence.
Yeah.
And this will be, nothing's final right now, so I believe right now the cutoff time. Sire is 10 o'clock with the schedule change.
Uh-huh.
I want to say, I think we might give you between 10 and noon to try to get a hold of anyone, get the workflow done so that you can make it agenda ready. Because we really want to get that workflow done. Because we don't want it sitting in anyone's queue. So, So as your last steps, you're making any changes. If one of those people in the queue or the sequence queue couldn't do it, you're making their changes, updating any files, running that report, putting it in the right order on the attachments, and approving the item, and then it's done.
So what happens is this happens.
There's a lot of work on the back end for the admin. If it doesn't get done, it ends up being a lot of work for the admin.
Because our email goes through the process. So after we send it in, and then it goes to the DA's office, and then the DA wasn't around before the 10 o'clock, I mean, we can't control their
time. Yeah, we know it's not going to be perfect. We want to try to get as many of them to agenda ready before, I want to say noon. Basically, you'll be able to do the sequence once Cindy or whoever's the admin on that agenda, be it Marcy or whoever, closes the agenda. At that point, you won't be able to enter any items. But the sequence will be able to move along.
Why isn't this a good thing? It's quite an important step.
Yeah. Short version, there's a longer version, I believe.
Yeah, store two.
And that still probably doesn't happen because it's.
That's the Clark County version.
And then what happens if we're not here?
You have to delegate.
And if you could head on.
Before we would send it, once we'd input it, now we have to be here at the beginning and at the end.
Same thing as now, if you're not here, if for some reason you can't get it, if there's no one else to do it, it'll get agenda ready if it's supposed to end up being on the agenda after floor manager review for that agenda. Once that's done, it just means if it doesn't get through the agenda, there's just a few steps on the admin side of the agenda that have to be taken to make sure no one can change that item unintentionally after the agenda is posted. So it's still kind of like now, once it's on the agenda, chances are it will be on the agenda unless someone says otherwise. So the sequence doesn't get done. It's not the end of the world. It just, we want to get the sequence done and
same
get
time
as many of them as possible done, just so that the agenda admin site doesn't have to do a bunch of extra steps, which we know you guys are also, compared to what you're doing right now, also doing a lot more steps. So we're just trying to streamline it the best we can.
It would also be helpful if you guys went in and kind of monitored where it is in its workflow step and ping people to move it along.
Before we go live, we're going to do a final audit of everyone's account, make sure everyone has a alternate for approvals, make sure we don't have any old users that have retired or left the county, make sure all your sequences are good, make sure we have any additional sequences your department might need to accommodate new hires or whatever special situations your department might need for the approval sequence. But yeah.
That is the vision.
Yep.
On fire right now. Once we upload it.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. We do get that, but we're trying to streamline this the best we can. We do know this is a lot of extra steps compared to what you guys currently do. So.
Okay, we can move forward.
Yeah.
Okay. Great conversations. Good to have. All right. The other thing I wanted to point out briefly is if everybody would go up to tools, you're going to see a lot of stuff in here. Some of the stuff you actually can't do, but I like to point out copy file. No need to click on it. If you accidentally did, that's okay. Copy file. So if you are creating agenda items that are very similar or almost exactly the same, maybe a couple times a year or something like that, you can use copy file. And what it does is it copies the agenda report information. It copies all of the attachments. Copies, I think, the type, and you'll still need to put in an agenda date. You're still going to need to load and start an approval sequence, but copy file copies the main content of the agenda item, the agenda report, and the attachments. May be useful for you, may never be useful for you, but I like to point it out as something you can use. All right, click back on the home screen. And everybody should have at least one recent file there now. All right, team, that is the process of creating agenda items in Legistar. We got a few minutes left. Any questions?
So I will say that Darlene did send out a draft guide that I've been working on. It is still very much in the draft state, and I do hate to say it's a little longer than I was hoping it'd be, but if you guys get the chance, if you have the software on your system, if you don't have the software, have your IT get a hold of me. I'll give them the instructions and the files. But go through it, go through what you learned today. Give me any thing that you would like included on that longer version of it that might be helpful for even others, even if it's something that you might think, oh, everyone should know. Because that is just basically for your guys' step for the approvals. There's a whole other document for those in the other people in the sequence, the approval sequence. So yeah, any feedback on that will be helpful.
What's your name?
Michael Webbett. If you don't have my email, contact Darlene or.
Yeah, you can always send it to me and I'll forward it to Michael.
Yeah.
Right. And a little bit of homework for you guys. Please, please go back. Make sure you're loaded with Legistar. You can get in, your templates pop up like they're supposed to pop up. Okay? We need you to be functional. The reason being, the month of August, we are going to do what we call parallels. And we're going to need you guys to assist us with that testing. Okay? So expect that. We will do two of them. And we're anticipating just duplicating what we have for our August meetings. But if you do not have an agenda in the August meetings, then you will make one up or you will follow one from another meeting. Okay.
Also, here's something else. If you could pull up one of the recent files on that, I'm trying to remember his name.
Doug. Thank you. There you go.
On the report tab. So we know that doesn't look right. Don't worry about it. Don't try to edit it or fix it like I said earlier. That's just the view you get here.
Okay.
What you see on the insight page, Doug, if you could also pull that up by chance, the text view of it, I think it should default to it. I don't know if you showed this earlier, but that view will look more like what you in the cache static efficiency. So yeah, don't worry too much about how the agenda report view looks.
The thing to remember with that is just to stay in the text boxes.
Yeah. Any edits, make sure you're doing them. You click edit, you go into the Word document, assuming it's working correctly. We'll have to get that fixed on these systems it's not working on.
Will they still send us a hard copy?
So when you run that agenda report, that staff report, that would be basically your hard copy that you'd want. So if you want a hard copy, that would be the one. And what it'll stamp with, I don't know if you scroll down on it, but it'll end up being stamped with the file ID on the copy that goes onto the site that you're doing during that step. It'll be that file ID down on the very bottom right-hand corner, if you can scroll down to it, and the agenda date.
Okay.
We're stamping that because of process issues to get the item number of what it would be on the agenda. Now, for the BCC agenda, Cindy's planning on doing a step on her end, an extra step on her end to, don't quote me on this, I don't know if it's final. I believe she's going to do this. She's going to do the agenda itself cover sheet, however many pages that is, followed by each of your staff reports. And in the bottom right-hand corner will be its item number .1 and .2 if it has two pages. And that'll be kind of like the packet, partial packet view. The full packet view is going to be used for like the commissioners for now during the meeting, but other staff that request it. But that'll be attached on the insight page. So if the public wanted it with that number and the agenda number, that's our hope to help with that so they know which item it is on the agenda. But having that file ID on there, that file ID won't change. It'll be available. They can search it on Insight. You can, if need be, search it through the Legistar, but the best place probably to search would be the Insight page. As for all the historical stuff, we're still working on that. it's not finalized how the historical stuff will be available, but SIRE and what we have will end up being available at least for some time out into the future, because there's some stuff on that that's only going to be available there because technical difficulties on that past the certain date. But there's also file document libraries where a lot of it's been stored as well. So, but the videos won't be going away for the older meetings. Those will be available definitely as a file meeting with this. So. Things are subject to change.
And closer to go live, we'll have an updated version of that draft copy that we sent you guys with a little more information in it. You'll get a lot more information prior to doing those parallels.
And please be patient with the program.
Any questions that you have after today, email me. I'll make sure that Michael gets them or whoever needs it gets it. And please let me know if you, I'd appreciate just the I'm in and I can pull up the template. That would be awesome if you all sent me that just so we know. Is that all we have for them today, Ben Doug?
That is all for this session, yes.
All right. Thank you all for coming. You can all.